Welcome to Life, Liberty, and Equip Podcast. I'm Greg Davis, founder of Neomag, and a firm believer that life is worth living boldly, liberty should be used for good, and we all have a calling to be equipped to pursue it. Every week, we explore what it means to live with intention and carry the tools and mindset that prepare us for whatever comes. We'll dive into the topics around freedoms we cherish, the gear we trust, and the skills that equip us. So more than a podcast, it's a mission. Life, Liberty, and Equipped to Pursue It.
Life, Liberty?
Liberty.
Liberty.
We're coming to you live on the Neomag YouTube and Facebook. Well, not Facebook. Catching up with us.
Well, no,
this is
we got Facebook.
This is V2.
We got practice.
We got kicked off the internet, so we're doing this again. So we are live again. We'll be pulling your live comments right into the conversation. If you're listening to the recorded podcast, we go live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. or 1:25 Eastern on our YouTube and Facebook page. We'd love to have you join us in real time. And don't forget to join the Neomag Insiders Club. It's free to join, and right now, Insiders are getting 30% off Neomag products the whole month of November. Just head over to neomag.com and sign up through the pop-up on our site. All you got to do is log in to get that discount. While you're here, please subscribe to the channel, follow us on social, and leave us a review for the podcast. It really helps more people discover what we're doing and keeps the community growing.
What's up, Jack Happy Bob? Welcome back. So for those of you who don't know, we already did this once.
Hold on. They don't know who was talking. I got to do your intro.
I apologize. Intro first.
In a world where comfort breeds complacency and challenges reveal character, two men step forward. First, Nate, a leader forged in discipline, sharpened by service, and driven by a mission bigger than himself. He brings clarity, conviction, and the kind of calm strength that steadies the room before he even speaks. And beside him, Tiberius, relentless, calculated, a strategist with fire in his chest and purpose in his stride. When others see obstacles, he sees opportunity. When others hesitate, he advances. Together, Nate and Tiberius form a force of grit, insight, and unapologetic truth, ready to guide, challenge, and ignite everyone listening.
Woo! The dynamic duo over here.
That's right. So back to what I was saying.
You're Robin, I'm Batman.
Okay. That's fine.
He just wants to wear tights.
I love tights.
I think they both wear tights.
I have a nice butt.
So. Yeah, but Robin's tights are a little more
light in his loafers.
They're a little extra.
a little bit more something. But we already did this once.
Yeah, we did.
You got practice doing that intro and, you know, we've heard this all before.
I didn't really go whole. I thought maybe it'd go better the second time, but
nope. You said Bibberty instead of Liberty.
Yeah, Bibberty. I'm all blustered now.
Blustered?
I was going to say flustered, but I'm going with the whole
blah. Yeah, it's the internet kicked us off, which is like the billionth time in the last week and a half.
Yeah, last couple of weeks it's been.
So, that's fun.
Thanks, Spectrum.
I blame Zuckerberg. I don't know why, but I blame him.
Well, we can blame him for our Instagram.
Yep, he kicked us off Instagram.
We're not allowed to do Instagram Live for a year because we collabed with somebody else's post, which they ended up saying
we're trying to sell something.
Was bad.
Yep.
Which it wasn't. And it was actually even reviewed and still deemed
incorrect
and bad. And so we got a slap on the bum. Alongside them, so just all kinds of
so fun.
My 2 week YouTube suspension just ended this weekend, so
hey, congrats!
I can post on YouTube again, yay!
Yep,
yeah. Penguin said he blames Ohio. So JK, love Ohio. Oh, Ohio's fine. It's the
it's just the internet.
It's the internet, and it's big Meta.
Yeah,
those are the enemies.
All right, we're going to hit life segment.
All right, let's do this.
And we're going to actually hear Tib talk about vacation.
Okay.
Life isn't just the big moments. It's the everyday joys worth protecting. Family, friends, and community. Let's talk about what makes life rich.
Yeah, so we are finally in new territory. This is about as far as we got.
Yeah, I mean, Tib continued to talk while we were rushing around trying to figure out what was going on. So, Tib, you want to reiterate what you said to everyone else?
Yeah, how's it going, Tib?
Sure. Did you guys know I went on vacation last week?
What? Oh, yeah, welcome back. What? Hold on. First, we also did cover that We are missing one.
Oh, yes.
We are missing Michael.
Michael.
If you're watching live, you'll notice there's only two of us here, plus Tib.
Prayers for Michael.
Yeah.
Michael hurt his back.
His back is in pretty bad shape.
He can't sit for long. He can't stand for long. He can't walk for long. He's not feeling good. So pray for Michael. Hopefully we get him back next week. He's going to a bunch of doctor stuff. So we're hoping that he gets some respite soon.
Yeah.
So pray for Michael.
Yeah. All right. So Tib.
Now Tib.
Now go.
Go.
Vacation last week was lovely. It was just perfect in every way. It was just me and the wife. Kids stayed home. We went to a nice, our favorite little tropical island with not a lot of people. It was 85 and sunny every day, which is perfect for us. Were you laughing at me?
No, did you not hear the sound effect that Greg just played?
No, I didn't hear it. Go ahead. Oh, yes.
The wonderful harps.
That's exactly what it was.
If I had beach, I need beach sounds on here. I don't
know where to be.
Crashing waves.
Sounds more like a hurricane. No, stop.
Like the crashing wave that stole my gators in the ocean that I told you guys about.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Giant wave came and hit me in the back of the head, and I grabbed my Neomag hat instead of my gators, and that was a bad decision. I should have grabbed the gators instead.
Yeah.
But priorities.
Well, you know. I bet if you reach out to gators, they'll send you a new pair, though.
I already have a pair on the way. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I wasn't all that upset about it. Gators is very good to me. But no, it was great. We relaxed, did a lot of reading on the beach, drank a lot of rum, tried out some new restaurants. Just a lovely, lovely week.
That sounds good. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was good. It was very relaxing. This past weekend also, the Knights of Columbus had a gift card fundraiser. A bunch of people bringing gift cards and cash donations and to help people, local folks who are struggling to put a proper Thanksgiving meal together. And so we'll help people in the church community, and then some of it will go to the local food pantry and just, you know, trying to spread the love and help people out a little extra during the holiday season. So
nice. It's awesome.
Yeah. They had stacks of gift cards, so it went really well.
How did you guys, were you guys just standing there like accepting the gift cards? Were you coordinating things? How did that work?
Yeah. So what they'll do is they'll put things in the bulletin. In the church bulletin that goes out every week on the website, the knights will announce it. Our priest will post something, and then after all the masses, they'll collect the gift cards. And like I said, some go to local families in the church, and even some with outside of the church. And then the food pantries get whatever is left over. But nice. As always, our church is very generous, which is great.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good. And the last thing I did, so I have a neighbor who, very strange, interesting, not strange, interesting fellow. I could tell you guys about him for like an hour, but he does a lot of CrossFit type workouts, and we used to do them together all the time and stop for no reason. So I joined him for one yesterday, and he knows I've been going to the gym, but he also knows I haven't been doing any exercise like running or anything cardio related. And it really showed. I was hurting. And it was cold, too, so it was tough to breathe. But his exercise was a 50 burpee buy-in.
Nope.
I'm out right there. And then fireman carry, where you have to put the person on your back. And we walked across the entire soccer field. Is a soccer field 100 yards, I think?
It's far. I don't know.
It was far. Yeah, and I'm probably a good 20 pounds heavier than him, so lucky. Anyway, you carry one person across the soccer field. You do 30 squats, air squats, 25 push-ups. The other person picks up the other guy, carries him back across the soccer field, 30 air squats, 25 push-ups. You go back and forth for 5 sets, and then there was a 50 burpee buyout. And he saw me, like, pretty much dying at the end of the time. And he said, how about instead of the 50 burpees, we just do a 2-minute plank? I was like, yes, please.
Yes, I was like, I don't know if that's a whole lot better, but yeah, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, I was struggling with the burpees the last 10 or 15. My cardio, especially in the cold, is not there. Shockingly, the fireman's carry was by far the easiest. That was the easiest part.
Was your neighbor a tiny guy?
He's probably 175.
Yeah, but a fireman's carry really, I mean.
If you do it right, it's not.
It's not bad. I mean, yeah. it's just a little bit of extra weight. And unless you're like sprinting, it's not bad. Honestly, it's almost a break, especially if you're doing burpees and that kind of stuff. That's not a huge deal. At least to me, that's the easiest thing of the things that you said. I'll do a fireman's carry back and forth. In fact, I'll fireman's carry you guys back and forth, and you guys do the exercises at the end. I'll just carry you. That'll be my participation in the exercises.
I agree.
You get a break from the whatever you did, and I'll just carry you back and forth.
I actually don't mind. I don't mind burpees that much. I did a wad last week, last Wednesday, where it's it was man makers, which is basically burpees, but you have dumbbells. So you do a burpee, and then you basically do a. With the dumbbells, then you put your dumbbells up above your head, back down, burpee, dumbbells above your head. Mm. Those are always, take it up a notch. Those are rough too.
I'm good.
I like them.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I feel like I'm enough of a man. I don't need to be made more of a man with burpees.
Burpees are awful.
Yep. I'm out. Hard pass. I'll just carry men. It's fine.
So you're going to start doing this more often?
Yeah, so he does this type of workout like 5-6 days a week. So I want to start doing it twice a week because I go to the gym 3 times a week and I want to keep that pace up. But I do need to do more for cardio, and I've been struggling for consistency there. And after this workout yesterday, like I was just telling Nate, my legs, my lats, my back, like my traps, I feel it everywhere. I'm like hurting. So yeah, I need to do it. It'd be ideal if I could do it twice a week.
Yeah, that's good. For a while, I was lifting Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I used to still do some kind of cardio in there with that as well, jump roping or something. But then Tuesday, Thursday, I was doing some sort of wad. And before that, we as a team did for a little while. We're doing Wednesday wads together, and people's schedules and stuff like that just kind of got thrown off. So yeah, I started doing Tuesday, Thursday, and that's a great mix of just kind of everything. Yeah.
Well, when I come in 3 weeks or so, we'll make everybody do a group wad together. Yeah. Except for Michael, because he's broken.
He's broken. I always enjoy doing it with Nate, because we kind of push each other, and it was good. I enjoyed it. That's good. Well, I've kind of rekindled a interest in deer hunting. So I've always loved hunting, but it's mostly just been waterfowl that I've always hunted, which I probably still do prefer, but it's just been getting harder and harder to waterfowl hunt, especially in this part of Ohio. Just getting properties is getting so hard to do, and there's just not as many birds around as there used to be. And the other downside to it was, I was just actually explaining to my wife, the hard part with waterfowl hunting, in order to do it well, you kind of need to have a couple people.
Yeah.
It just helps to have more people calling and more eyes in the sky and stuff like that. And plus, we're usually in like a marsh. And the marsh that we're usually in, I have been out there by myself, but it makes me just a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Because it's far enough from civilization that nobody's going to hear me yelling. If I were to get tip over and get stuck, because it is like, if you get out of the boat, which every now and then you kind of have to, you get out of the boat and you're waders. If you don't have something with you to like
a stick,
you can get stuck so easily.
Yeah.
Like I've been legit stuck but it wasn't a big deal because my buddy's there with the boat and he comes over and helps me get out. So I don't like to go there by myself. That said, so deer hunting, you go by yourself. And the one other wonderful thing is, you know, a lot of the deer in the spot that I have are moving in the evening. So I can leave work a little bit early. Shooting time ends at 5:30, 5:35 right now. So I can still get home for dinner. So I've only sat twice, but it's been in the last week. I'm probably going to go right after the podcast today too.
Yeah.
But I've really been enjoying getting up in the tree. I had a nice little it's actually been a small 8-point.
I think it was an 8-point based on what we looked at in the video.
Yeah.
It was good size.
Yes. Yeah, small points, but Tim, I don't think I sent you the one I saw that came by me yesterday, but I was kind of
share that in the story.
I did. Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and so he walked by. I kind of regretted a little bit, but I know there's a bigger one in the area. He was on my camera the day before, So anyway, that's been a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying that. And then, we're deep in hockey season here. We have a team game tomorrow that I'm actually still looking for a fourth person because Nate can't go. So, I've only been to one Monsters game this year. We're several months in to the season. I've only been to one. They kind of started off the beginning of the season here a little light.
A little lighter than normal. I mean, I feel like we normally start the season hot and heavy.
Yeah.
And we went... I feel like we did a better job this year distributing ourselves, though, than we have in years past. Because when the season comes out, we have to kind of select all of our tickets for the season before the season even really kicks off. And I feel like we normally do a lot of like, all right, we're going to pack everything in the beginning. And then by the end, we're like, oh,
yeah,
hockey.
Yeah, our first season doing this, by the time we got towards the end of the season,
nobody wanted to go.
Yeah, we were like, I'm tired of going.
Yeah, no one wanted to go. Yeah.
Drive up there. Not that Cleveland's a big city, but it's still...
It's a city.
And it's still way more than what we're used to in our little town here. So going up there and dealing with all that, it's a...
Parking
and... Football. Oh, that's a pain. So, going to game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
This should be fun.
Yeah.
I'll come be the fourth, Greg.
Please.
Fly out, dude.
Would love that.
Yeah, I'll drive out and bring the baby.
I've been telling you to do that for 3 years.
Yeah, stop teasing us.
Literally, for 3 years, Tib, I've been telling you to drive out here with the baby. So.
How about you, Dan? What's new?
Bring your pirate dog. Nothing really new. We did put our Christmas decorations up way early, which is
fantastic.
Not like us. As much as I love Christmas, if you guys didn't know, Christmas is my favorite time of year. I, generally speaking, don't do this kind of thing, but we put up our Christmas decorations Friday night last week, simply because we didn't know when we'd be able to if we didn't. It was just one of those when we looked at the calendar and looked at schedules, and it was, well, we have an open evening, and we're not sure when we're going to be able to do it. So we pulled stuff down out of the attic and got basically pretty much everything's decorated. We still have to actually put the ornaments on one tree. So technically we're not done yet, but the big things are all done and set up and, you know, decorated and everything. So we did that Friday. Saturday, we actually had a cocktail class at a distillery in Cleveland. Well, technically in Lakewood. Excuse me. Called the Western Reserve Distillery. It was a lot of fun. They taught us three different cocktails. A caramel apple margarita, which was amazing. What was it? I can't remember now.
You use different spirits for each one?
Each one was different. It was a tequila, a rum, and a... It wasn't a bourbon. A gin. Mm. Those were the three. And I can't remember what the other two were. They were all good. The one was okay. Just, it wasn't... If you liked what it was... Like, I can't remember what it was. Oh, Manhattan. It was a Manhattan. So margarita, Manhattan, which I do like Manhattans. And then I can't remember what the last one was. But it doesn't matter. So they taught us how to make it. And then you got to choose which one you wanted to make on your own. So the bartender that was teaching how to make the drink would come around and she would give you all of the ingredients to make the drink and everything. So we got to make it. And then, which was a lot of fun. So we sat there. Each got to make our own drink. So that was a lot of fun. They gave us the recipes and all of the other stuff. The other thing that they actually gave us is the one drink, the rum was brown buttered rum, and they taught you how to make it. So it was a brown wash, like a butter brown wash, I think, or how do you, can't remember exactly how to say it, but they taught you actually how to do that with a recipe and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we can take home and do. And then they had a little bit of tastings, like you could taste some of the spirits that they make there and everything like that. So we were there for probably, I want to say probably 4 hours, because the class itself wasn't very long. I want to say it was maybe an hour, all said and done, after she talked through the history of each drink and the approach that they did to it. The class was about an hour, but we ate and we sat and did the class and then hung out and had some other cocktails made by the actual bartenders there and everything, which is a lot of fun. So we were up there for a little while. And then there's a new speakeasy in Medina, which is another town over from us that we went to later that evening with the same group of folks, which is interesting. It's a neat little place.
Because you didn't have enough to drink?
Apparently not. I only had one at each location. Other people may have imbibed a little bit more. But the speakeasy was cool. It's a neat little place. I have a hard time. There's a place in Wadsworth that kind of has set the bar for good cocktails and a good speakeasy. And I have yet to find one that quite meets that. It's called Crafted Cocktail in Wadsworth. If you're in the Wadsworth area and you like good cocktails, go to Crafted Cocktail in Wadsworth. They make, I would argue, some of the best cocktails I've ever had. Oh. And the environment is super cool. The speakeasy in Medina was great. They made good drinks. The environment was, I would go back, but it was not be like super duper high on the list of places to be. If you're in Medina and you had dinner and you want to go somewhere afterwards, I'd go there.
You ever been to the Wolf Creek Tavern?
Mm-hmm.
Speakeasy?
Yeah.
I say that's like as legit of an experience as you get.
It's legit speakeasy.
Legit speakeasy. Kind of creepy. Dark and dingy.
You're waiting to be bitten by a spider or a snake because it's actually legit.
Like it, every time I go in there, I can never remember how to get to it.
Yeah,
which there's a door that doesn't look like a door. That's kind of the whole thing. But
I mean, but it was a legit speakeasy.
Yeah, there's a big hole in the wall where they showed where the alcohol would be
passed through,
and stuff like that. And the drinks are pretty good too.
Yeah,
but. Did you learn how to make the Michael Scott one of everything?
No, I did not.
I don't know why I started thinking that. So I looked up the recipe. If you guys are interested in making the Michael Scott one of everything, it's equal parts scotch, absinthe, white rum, gin, sweet vermouth, triple sec, and two packs of Splenda.
Yep. Ugh. That'll knock you out.
That sounds awful.
That'll knock you right out. I think... You're really trying to not have a night if you're going to drink the Michael Scott one of everything. Did not have that. Definitely not.
Hard pass.
I think Meredith was the only one that was...
Yes. She was excited about it, actually. And she said, this is awesome. And I think she then wanted another one.
I love the two packs of Splenda.
Two packs of Splenda. Just to, you know, take down the bite.
Sweeten it up a little.
But we did that. And then I don't remember. I had something else on here.
Urban Air.
Oh, yeah. And then
some trampolines.
Yeah. Then we took my son for my kids' birthdays, we've been trying to do, we still buy them a few presents, but we've been trying to give them an experience of some sort. Now, his birthday was about a month ago, actually a little bit over a month ago. But again, with busyness, this was the first weekend that we were going to make it something fit. So we told him, we kind of gave him some options of things that we could do for his birthday. And there's a place right around the corner called Urban Air. And it's a trampoline park, and they actually have this ball pit American Ninja type of course in it, and they've got a ropes course and a zip line. They do have some climbing walls and some arcade type stuff, but that stuff is a little bit old for him, definitely old for my daughter. So we went there for probably 2.5-3 hours on Sunday afternoon, and I'll let the kids just bounce and play. And I mean, he spent probably the lion's share of his time in the ball pit of the American Ninja Warrior type of course, which it's funny because they have it set up so that you could time yourself and like see how fast you could get across the course without falling. And
he doesn't care.
I don't think, it wasn't even him. I don't think I saw a single kid, and there's plenty of teens and everything in there that actually tried to complete the course. Like they didn't try and do the course. They were all just jumping into the pit, which Weston at one point is like, hey, can you jump in the pit? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I jumped right in. And I understand why they want to be in there. It's a lot of fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
As a, you know, 6 foot, over 200-pound man, I sunk straight to the bottom. And then the balls, you're surprised, right? Like these little balls, which weigh nothing, compress, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you get sucked into the bottom. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of this ball pit. I'm kind of stuck in here. But it was a lot of fun. So he had a blast. So that was our weekend, and that's what we've been doing. And then it's just Black Friday, man. That's it, Black Friday until we get through Thanksgiving next week, and then it's time for hunting. So,
yeah,
that's all.
I can't wait. I'm ready. I'm officially ready for the holidays. I realized this, I think, yesterday. I'm like, okay, and maybe it's because I'm getting
once I get through hunting season.
Yeah,
hunting season is my gateway. Once I'm done hunting, right, at least the first hunting season, then I'm ready for the holidays.
Yeah,
because that's usually it's like the gateway for me. Like I get through, because Thanksgiving, it's not that it's not a holiday, but I don't think about Thanksgiving much. It's just a thing. You know, we eat food with the family. It's nothing. It's not bad. I just don't really think about it much. And then I go to hunt with my dad out in Pennsylvania for a few days. And then once I get back, it's like, okay, it's usually we're either almost in December or just hit December. I can start playing Christmas music obnoxiously because that's my rule is that I don't obnoxiously play Christmas music towards other people until after December 1st. So I can start obnoxiously playing my Christmas music and everything's decorated. And that's kind of the onus for, okay, we're in the holidays. So I'm looking forward to that.
Like starting off the Christmas season with killing something.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
It's the best way to start.
Blast it away with 308, 200 yards. Let's go. Game on.
All right, well, let's get into in today's Liberty segment.
Liberty isn't about what we can get away with. It's about how we use our freedom to serve. Let's explore what that looks like today.
So today's Liberty segment comes from I volunteered at my church on Monday. Our church does this every year. They do Operation Christmas Child. Been doing it for as long as I can remember. Me and Nate were telling stories about how we remember as a kid saving a shoebox, going to the store. You would pick what they would give you a card with like the age, sex, interests of some kid. I think just so you kind of knew who you're shopping for, and so you fill the shoebox and you bring it to the church. So. It's something I remember doing for a long time. So our church is one of the main drop-off points, I think, in a pretty big area because we had people coming from pretty long way coming to drop stuff off. We boxed up almost 1,000 shoeboxes.
Wow.
Just on Monday. And she said that
it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And she said that was slow. That it's normally busier than that. And so they're there every evening up until some point here. And so it was pretty cool. There was somebody came with a covered trailer. It was a small covered trailer, but a covered enclosed trailer. They had over 600 boxes themselves. Mm. So that one person came with 2/3 of what we boxed that night. But super cool thing to do. She actually shared a story about there was a guy that came and spoke, I think, last year, who a while ago was a recipient of one of these boxes. Hmm. And he he had a much longer talk than this, kind of explain the whole story, but he had a story of getting out of his homeland and coming over in the States, and he now helps with what he works with Samaritan's Purse, which is what puts who does Operation Christmas Child. So I kind of just wanted to bring light to this and just kind of let people know about it. If you don't know about it, just kind of let you know about it. There are almost guaranteed there are
locations near you.
Yeah, there are places near you, and it's just a great way to give a child who has almost nothing a gift this Christmas. Now, it's not funny, but. And she said that they by the time they get these, by the time they get they shipped over there, they go through customs, they make their way out into.
I feel like it ends up being all year round that they're.
It's stuff. She said it's like March or April or something like that.
Yeah.
By the time they actually get them.
Yeah.
They do it now for us Americans to think that we're doing a Christmas present, which these kids do not care when they get.
No, they're getting a gift. It doesn't matter what it is or when it is, but they're getting a gift.
So
they appreciate it no matter what.
Right.
Are you familiar with this?
No, I've never heard of it.
Interesting. So it's a project run by Samaritan's Purse, and it's a international Christian relief and evangelism organization. So when they bring these gifts to them, they present the gospel presentation. I think it's actually what they're explaining. There's actually like a 8-week long. Probably closest thing that we could equate it to is like a VBS type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like a Bible camp. It's not just a here's this, walk away and call it a day. They actually spend some time with the kids, the families.
Yeah, the families. Yeah.
And try to give them something more than just a gift. Although the gift is significant.
Yeah. Yeah, so beyond the gift itself, the program aims to share the Christian gospel message and engage children in a discipleship program called The Greatest Journey after they receive the shoebox. And there's we have some pictures here, but if you hop on Google and you type us in, you can see some of the pictures of these kids getting these boxes. And it's been around since the early 90s.
Well, say we were talking about it, and I can remember doing this event. It would have been as early as probably 1999 or 2000, and doing packing parties. It used to be, when it first started anyways, like you'd save a shoebox, and you'd bring your saved shoeboxes to a packing location, and the packing location that people would have donated toothbrushes and toothpaste and soap and socks and crayons and pencils and all sorts of textiles and things that a kid needs and wants. I think even like rubber balls and bouncy balls, that kind of stuff. And you go through and you just grab some of all of it and fill this box full of all of that stuff. Now they actually, to a certain extent, can provide a box so that it logistically makes a little more sense.
Now they'll actually give you a box. And the nice thing about it, really, so being on the end of collecting these boxes, so there's a bigger box that they give you that you put 16 of these shoe boxes in. If all those shoe boxes were different sizes, it would be a nightmare trying to pack
these things up. Which is what it used to be.
Yeah, so now it's nice because they all fit nice in the box. Yeah. So it's kind of a crazy stat. It says, since 1993, more than 232 million shoe boxes have been handed out in more than 170 countries and territories. Wow. It's crazy. It's huge. It's just a really cool way to give back to at least to these. And I did not know about this, but you can actually go on the website and you can build a box online.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how it works. I didn't follow the link yet, but yeah, you can go online, you can build a box. You can also sponsor boxes, $10 per box. I guess it helps cover shipping and processing and
oh, cool.
And stuff like that. So, it's, I think sometimes we you hear these overwhelming stats of how many people are in these third world countries that need help, and you kind of feel helpless. What can I do? But one shoebox at a time can send hundreds of millions of boxes over there. So you might just be helping one kid out, but that's one kid who didn't have anything before that. So yeah.
It's a really neat organization. I do know that. Based on what you and I talked about, the change, like I said, I remember it as a box packing event where you kind of did it with a bunch of other people. But you don't have to do that anymore. You can do it individually and go and fill the box on your own by just, going to your Target or Walmart and buying the stuff on your own, filling the box and going and dropping it off at a pre-coordinated location. So you don't have to do that as a group thing or do it at a church. That's something you can coordinate and do on your own. So it's not something that you have to wait for somebody else to set up, which I didn't know about the online thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But it is, I think it's a pretty neat, thing to do for the, it's always been a cool organization. The Samaritan's Purse organization has always been cool, and participating in Operation Christmas Child. I can remember going as far, I don't know if you remember this, but the church that we grew up with did little plays and stuff back in the day. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. We did an Operation Christmas Child play when I was a kid. I was in it. But it was all about that. It was kind of trying to, it was almost like a church sponsored commercial, I guess. I don't know that we did.
Do you have a copy of this? Because I think we need to see it.
I actually wish that we had video of some of this stuff from way back in the day, because I did several plays like this from way back, but I actually don't know if anyone ever videotaped any of this stuff, but
guaranteed it's on videotape somewhere. It's
just, I mean,
trying to find that VHS.
Well, honestly, somewhere. The person to ask would be Debbie Herter would be the person to ask. She's the one that led all that stuff. She might have it somewhere. But anyways, we actually did a whole play about Operation Christmas Child. But it's a really, really neat organization to support. It's a neat event to support. And it doesn't cost that much either. Like, if you were to pack one box, honestly, you could pack multiple by buying the multi-packs of everything that they ask, right? Like, they're going to ask, I think they give you a general list of what they want in the box. At least they used to. They'll give you a general list of what they want in the box, and most of it is going to be stuff that you can buy in bulk packaging. So you can make four or five boxes based off of bulk buying four or five of the items pretty easily. And it's, like I said, it's a neat event.
So one idea I had was, you know, we're all going to be getting together with people for Thanksgiving coming up pretty soon here, and people are always asking, you know, what should I bring? You can say, you know what? Food's covered, but if you could bring, you know, something, you know, go look at the list of things that they need for this and say, you know, can you bring a pack of pencils and bouncy balls? Go to Five Below, go to the dollar store, whatever, get stuff, bring it, and then do a packing party. So we used to do a packing party where everybody bring all the bulk stuff and you'd kind of
lay it out on the table,
lay it out. You grab a box, go down and, you know, kind of pick one of everything. But it'd be something you could sit around and do as a family this Thanksgiving. You know, instead of just shopping and buying stuff you don't need, you could actually be helping some kids and putting some stuff together. So, or if you are online shopping, you can go to Samaritan's Purse and you could
sponsor a box.
You can build it online. So, it reminded me of this, and I kind of want to bring it to light for people who don't know about it. If there's nothing in your area where you can volunteer and help or volunteer to drop up boxes, again, you can go online and do it. And it's a really cool way to bring some happiness to some kids that don't have a lot. And some families, truly. You know, Trader's families are thankful. The parents are thankful to see their kids get the stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, for sure.
I was just playing around on the website as you were talking about it. And the one thing I really liked, besides, you know, helping less fortunate, it says 85% of what they receive goes back into their ministry, which is fantastic. 8% is fundraising and 7% is just general administrative stuff. So that 85% is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's one of the first things I look for when I, you know, you guys remember the wounded warrior when they were keeping 90% of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah. I've donated to Samaritan's Purse for years on certain projects and stuff like that. And they always do a really good job. And that's one of the things I always look at too, Tib, is, you know, how much of this money is actually going to actually help first, you know, give the guy at the top a raise. So,
well, I know that they work off of a very large volunteer structure. The folks that are coordinating, I mean, obviously there's some level that somebody's getting paid for something.
Sure.
You just have to at some point. But I do know that they have people in director level positions that are truly there on a volunteer basis. Like, they've got a large volunteer network that are helping to coordinate and run this organization and coordinate for the pickup, drop off, and shipping of all these boxes. So you can rest assured that your donations are being used wisely.
Yep.
So
definitely. Very good. All right, let's move into Equipped.
The right tools, the right skills, at the right time. This is where we get equipped to live boldly and be ready for what comes next.
So every week of the month of November, we are dropping new Black Multicam products.
Yes, we are.
First week, what did we do?
We dropped the Black Multicam Gen 2 Neo Mag and the Black Multicam EDC Tech Trap.
And how many of those do we have left?
No Neo Mags.
Gone.
They're gone. I think we have two or three tech traps, maybe. I'd have to check. It's two or three, but they could be gone. Honestly, they could have sold today. I'm not positive. We don't have many of them left, if we have any.
Cool. And then last week,
we dropped the Black Multicam Alias Belt pre-order. So those will be on the website and available to order until December 1st at midnight.
Right.
Or 11:59.
11:59. Pacific Standard.
Right.
So if you're on East Coast, you even have an extra hours.
A few extra hours.
If you want to order at 2:59 a.m.
in the morning,
You can.
You can.
But yeah, so the pre-order will close December 1st for those. So you have an opportunity there. If you want a Black Multicam Alias Belt, you get that. honestly, if you just want an Alias belt that is not in your typical size that we offer, this is a great opportunity because it goes from size 26 up to size 50.
Too big.
In both the low profile and the Cobra buckle.
Yep.
So if you want a big belt or a small belt or anything in between, we've got you covered on the pre-order.
You could get like two small belts and link them together.
You could. That is an option. I don't know why you do that, but you could do that. There you go.
If you plan on losing weight, you're like, I'm going to go from a 50.
To a 26.
To a 26. So I'm going to go ahead and buy
two 26s?
Two 26s.
Link them together?
But eventually, I'm going to get down to one of these.
Yeah, that seems like an odd plan, but if you want to go for it, do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's healthy.
That seems like a drastic loss of weight. Probably not wise. You're probably going to have some skin cut off if you do that, but you know what? Go for it.
I mean, you don't have to do it in a week. Do it in a healthy plan.
But anyways.
Tib, do you know what we're launching this week?
An EDC tray and a watch stand?
Yeah.
We're actually launching two types of EDC trays. Large.
Show notes.
And mini. Plus the watch stand with the black multicam insert.
Yeah, so we've done black multicam trays in the past, but this year is different. So this year we decided to go with a complete Cerakote, the entire tray.
Yep.
Cerakote black multicam. They look great. We don't have any here to show you, but what we've seen, they look great.
Yep.
And it's going to come with a clear plastic insert to go in the bottom to help.
Words are hard for you
today. It is hard. to go in the bottom of it. So if you decide you want to throw heavy, sharp things into your tray,
you can do so.
You can do that.
It won't hurt the Cerakote.
At will. And so it'll come with that. The watch stands, the insert, there's an insert in there. That is black multicam.
Yep.
We did these last year. We did a handful last year. We'll only have, do you know how many of those watch stands we'll have?
Less than 10.
Yeah, I want to say it was like six.
It's less than 10. So we've got 10 of each size of tray. So total of 20 trays and less than 10 of the watch stand. So limited numbers.
And you can choose between which base you want on the watch stand, right?
Yep. Yep. You'll be able to choose either the standalone base or the tray equipped, the tray base between the two.
Yeah. So the tray base is really cool. It actually, there's a couple set screws in it. It just sits on your tray. It'll work on either on the long side of the mini tray or on the back side of the large tray. And the watch stand, if you don't know, super cool. We CNC machine it out of aluminum. It holds two watches and it normally has a leather insert in there. These are going to be it's basically plastic with a Cordura black multicam attached to the top of it that your watch stand on. But you can also pop that out and a Apple Watch charger will fit inside of both sides, if you have two Apple Watches, maybe you and your wife or
his and hers,
your husband, yeah, whatever. You can have two Apple Watches in there as well, or keep the inserts in and set your watches on that.
And if you have a non-Apple smartwatch, if it's a plug in the bottom style, you can actually route that cable up as well, just because it's an open bottom. So if it's not a
If you have a Garmin or something like that, you should be able to still feed your charger up through it.
We also have wire routing built into it as well.
Yeah, there's wire routing. So if you do have your charger in there, you can kind of, it's not going to just be dangling all over the place. So it'll kind of route through it. And again, our EDC trays are also CNC machined out of a single plate of aluminum, Cerakoted. Lifetime warranty on all of these things.
Yep.
So they are. These are the kind of thing that you could buy and hand down to your...
They're heirloom items.
Yeah, they are.
Is what I would call them.
As we said before, the trays could actually be used as a weapon, as a blunt object weapon, if you really wanted to.
I wouldn't want to get hit with one.
I have a video somewhere of throwing one into a... Like, going through a piece of drywall somewhere. I don't know if I ever posted it. What you looking for?
They're not bulletproof, though.
No, there's one behind Nate.
Right.
Unless if you hit right in the thick part, it'll do a pretty good job.
With 9mm.
With 9mm. TG3 is going to blow right through it. But yeah, do not use a tray
as... It's not bulletproof.
As armor.
It would hurt if you smacked someone with it. So keep that in mind.
So those will be available this Friday. They will be launching.
At some point in time.
the target date, target time is around noon, but
it would have launched on Friday.
Depends on when we get these things.
Hopefully, we'll get them tomorrow for pictures.
So we should have more. Last time we turned around, pictures
and content. We got them at 7:30 in the morning on Friday, and we got them up on the website by like
noon, 1 o'clock.
So we'll see.
Yeah, so excited about these. And then we have one more surprise for you guys next Friday that we'll tell you about next
Wednesday. Super unique that we've never ever done before.
Legit.
Literally never done before.
Not a new product. New variation of a product we've never done before.
Yep. The first time.
$50, and I'll tell everybody what it is.
Wow.
Wow.
You are cheap, man.
Yeah. Cheap. $50 is all I need.
$5, I'll do it.
Faith anchors us, fuel drives us. Let's open God's word and find the wisdom we need to live it out every day.
To answer Patriotic Pangolin, I don't even know that it would, the thin part of the tray, I don't think it would stop a 22 long rifle. 22 is still pretty wicked little
round. There's only one way to find out.
I'm pretty sure it'll go through.
Probably.
Anyway, this week for...
Now I want to shoot it with a 22 long rifle.
Yeah, we can do that. This week for Faith and Fuel, again, this verse came to mind as I was planning the Liberty segment. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I actually have a tattoo on the top of my left arm that is based on this scripture. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers, for every gift, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I love this verse. We can kind of dissect a little bit here, but what's your first thoughts? What's your thoughts on the scripture?
Ladies first, Nate.
I'm thinking, it's interesting. So I think I've said this before, but Tuesday nights, well, now I just don't want to speak. When you play crickets, then I'm just going
to
stop talking.
I was trying to get in your pause, but I missed it.
So I meet on Tuesday nights with a friend of mine to discuss a book that I just suggested to Tib to buy. And I told him to supersede all the other books that he's waiting to read to read this book.
What is the book? You didn't tell me about it.
It is The Greatest Story Ever Told, written by, that's what it's called. It's not a statement about the book. That's the title of the book.
Yeah. Did I read that?
It's Bear Grylls' book. It just came out, so I don't think so. I mean, you could have.
But I wrote with a similar title.
I mean, there's other books with that title before, but anyways. But we end up talking about a whole bunch of stuff and then end up realizing that we need to talk about the book in the last, like, 35 minutes of the time that we meet. But we were discussing last night, this is the kind of thing we end up discussing. We were talking about predestination versus free will. Mm. It's a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And we're talking about being written in the book of life versus not and all of that. And how it, if that's a real thing or not, it doesn't matter because it's a gift to us regardless, right? And I think through that, as we read this scripture, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What is better than that? We've been given a perfect gift. We've been given the best gift, which is salvation, and it came from one place, and that's from above. That is the best gift that has ever been given to us. All we have to do is reach out and take it. How many people don't ever reach out and take it, but it's been given to us? It's literally right there. It's sitting wrapped, ready for you to take a hold of, unwrap, and take home. And it's from one place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Like that. How about you, Tib?
When I was reading it earlier, I was thinking God is always good. Only good comes. Only things from God are good. It's his good gift, perfect gift. No variation or shadow due to its change. So he's consistent. He's good. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have time to do a deep dive this morning before like I normally do.
So I put some notes down here. Again, this is one of my favorites. So I've over the years, I've put a lot of thought into this. So I kind of want to, I like to kind of dissect scripture. So I think we should take scripture as large chunks, as whole. Like if I were to send you a letter, you wouldn't go into the letter and just take one sentence out, right? You would read the entire letter. So when we read scripture, we want to read the entire thing. But then I think it's also good for us to dissect and really go into the meat of these verses. So that's kind of what I want to do now. So it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. So he's clearly writing to people who are being deceived. So he's telling them, do not be deceived. And they're probably being deceived because they are taking credit for what's, for what they have. And I think we, especially us as Americans, you know, we just got all kind of wrapped around the axle because our Wi-Fi went out, right? Like, but we also just talked about kids that have nothing and we're trying to send a shoebox to, right? So there's things that we just kind of have this expectation that good things happen to us. We have an expectation that water comes out of the faucet when I turn it on. We have expectation that Wi-Fi should be flowing freely. We have expectation of all these things, and we don't really stop to give credit to the good that we have because we just expect these things to happen. Mm. And we kind of deceive ourselves in thinking that we deserve these things and that these good things should just happen. Like we get upset when bad things happen to us because we expect good things to happen to us. We expect raises every year because that should be normal. We expect ourselves to be healthy because I was healthy yesterday. I should be healthy today, right? Like so, when we get sick, we get upset. If we get a bill that we didn't expect, we get upset, right? Like there's an expectation that we have of good things just to always happen to us. And so I think we need to be careful in not letting ourselves just expect these things all the time. But when we do get them, to be thankful to the one who gave them to us. And so I think that's kind of the warning here. Like he starts this verse out. Now this is verse 16. So he doesn't start this letter with a warning, but he puts a warning in here of do not be deceived. What's your guys' thoughts, feedback on that? If you have any.
I mean, I think you nailed it.
Okay. I did. The way you're looking at me, I thought maybe you had some, thoughts on that.
Nope. Nailed it.
So, all right, so the next part here. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. And Tibby said it, and, basically what I had written here is that if it's not good, it's not from God. Mm. And I kind of talked about this a little bit last week of recognizing how this year I feel like through God's Spirit, He's really helped me recognize my emotions and what is of God and what is not, right? Like last week we talked about how God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of hope and peace. And so when I find myself wrapped up in fear, I realize that is not of God. God did not give me a spirit of fear. So this kind of goes along with that, I feel like. So, and I actually just heard, I've heard this line before, but I just heard it again yesterday from a pastor I was listening to. He said, if it's not good, God's not done yet. And I think that's just a cool thing to consider is when we're going through tough times, when we're going through things where it just doesn't seem good, well, that's because God's still working and God is the great redeemer and He will turn everything good. For His good, it's something else I kind of want to throw out there is like sometimes our definition of good and a good gift and perfect gift is going to be different than God's definition of that too, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what we expect to be good is nonstop flowing Wi-Fi and food to be in the fridge. His definition of good is more related to our heart and I don't know if our camera just died. The screen.
Oh, did it?
I don't know. The screen went black on the camera.
Oh, no, it's been that way for a little while.
Okay. We're fine. Sorry. So, yeah, so, you know, if what you're going through, you can't see the good in yet, keep looking, because God is still working. And if it's not good, God's not done yet. And so that was a line that I liked a lot. And my last note I put here for this section is it's kind of a question to us. Is how does recognizing God as a source of all good things change us?
Well, it's interesting. So there was one of my instructors back in one of my military schools. He was not a believer, so this is not coming from a theological perspective, but he had a habit that he wanted us to get into called Hunt the Good Stuff. And every week, I can't remember if it was Friday or if it was Sunday. I can't remember if we had to end the week / start the week with this. I can't remember exactly how he wanted to do it. But what he wanted us to do is reflect on the previous week. That's why I said I can't remember if it was ending the week, reflecting on the previous week, or starting the next week, reflecting on the previous week. He wanted us to write three things and submit, literally send it to him, three good things that happened in the week. Now, from his perspective, what he was actually trying to do was protect mental health and everything, right? He was trying to be like, hey, guys, I know that you're stuck at this school for, you know, 8 months without your families, without this other stuff, and that's hard. So I want you guys to look back every week, find something that's good so that you can reflect and say, well, it's not all bad. Now, you're not lonely, you're not all this other stuff. That was his perspective. But if you take that same idea of hunt the good stuff, but hunt the good stuff from the perspective of that good stuff is coming from God, how does that change your perspective? Well, if all of those good things are coming from God and your perspective of, even if it's only three things every week, that you're taking the perspective of what are the three good things that God gave me this week, there's always going to be something, even in horrible circumstances. Maybe it's just that the sun was shining on this particular moment when I walked outside and I got to see a nice sunrise. Maybe that is your hunt the good stuff today. Maybe that's the only good thing that happened that day, but you got to see that, and that was the gift that you got from God today. But that is God's gift to you today, yep, is the sunrise. Or, I don't know, you know, name your small, simple thing, because there are dark times. That is a real thing. People, yep, do face dark things, and that's hard and frustrating. But if you can sit there and find three good things, recognizing that those three good things are gifts from God, that will change your mindset that, yeah, God is in these circumstances even now when I'm facing something that's difficult and hard and emotional and tear-jerking. I can still find something good, even if it's not the circumstance that I'm facing, but something else is good.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Tib?
Nothing for that sentence, but kind of what Patriotic Penguin there just said, how our troubles should bring us closer to him. So realizing that if something bad happens, it's not, you know, God directly, but those we've all been through those situations, those struggles, maybe a death in the family, a sickness, whatever struggle you have, and looking back, how many times do those situations bring us closer to him or strengthen our faith or just make us a more resilient person in general? So, you know, recognize that if something bad's happened, it's not God doing something to you bad, but at the same time, there's lessons to be learned in the struggles.
Yeah, the times in my life, which I did reply to him, I said, I'm thankful for the hard times in my life because that's when God's worked on me the most and brought me closer to him. Mm-hmm. And that's been, it's been so true in so many different things I've gone through in my life where I've learned, or when these trying times happen, I rely on him more and I need him more. And so I lean more into scripture and more into prayer, and which brings me closer to him. And then those, like, even if the circumstances haven't necessarily got better, my outlook on life, my attitude, my mood, how I treat people, all that stuff changes when I'm not just wrapped up in my own little world of
your bubble.
Yeah. My own little pain bubble. I'm not worried about that so much. Once I'm able to start thinking of, you know, outside of that, then it makes going through that trial so much easier. So the last part of the scripture here says, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And the note I put here is, you know, is we don't have to worry about the rules changing. God has always been the same. His love, his promises, his goodness never change or run out. I find all that comfort in that. How about you guys?
Oh, I mean, for sure. Like, and it goes back to what I said at the beginning. The gift hasn't changed either. Like, yeah, outside of anything else, we talk about all the good coming from him, but the ultimate gift that he gave us has never changed. One of the things we talked about last night was God created this world perfect when he originally created this world. He gave us one rule. The rule was broken, but he already had a plan in place. That plan came to fruition 2,000 years later, and that's never changed. And that plan is still the plan, and it still provides salvation, and that hasn't changed, and it's never going to change. We might change. We might change the rules. Our stuff may change, but he is constant. His love is constant. His salvation is constant. His desire to have relationship with us is constant. None of that's going to change. Everything else in this world is fleeting. He is not. And there is immense comfort in that.
I think, you know, making sure that we realize that our foundation is a firm foundation. It's not going to change. It's not going to shift. To your point, just the means to our salvation is never going to change. The gift is always there, but he's not going to change what it takes to
get it.
To hold it,
to achieve it.
It's always the same. I find just so much comfort in that. And so, actually the challenge I was going to have for everybody is pretty similar to what you shared, Nate. So, I started doing this probably 2.5 years ago. I found this book. It's called Daily Kairos. I highly recommend it. It's like a quiet time journal. It's a Bible time when you sit down and do your scripture reading and stuff like that. It guides you through it. There's different sections. There's like and I used that book for 2 years, and I kind of just shifted to just like a Moleskine now, because I did that for 2 years. I have it down pretty good now. But one of the parts of that book was write down 3 things you're thankful for. And to do that every single day, like 3 things a day that you're thankful for, eventually I started looking around the room and going, I'm thankful for this rug, you know,
sure,
you know, because I was trying not to repeat things, even though I'm thankful for my family every day. I could put my family every day. I'd covered my family. I covered my church and food and my job and stuff like that. Like, you know, I covered all those things. So eventually I'm starting to look around but it changed. It started to really change my perspective of that.
Things that would have otherwise been insignificant become significant.
Yeah. I'm thankful for that rug. It is keeping my feet warm right now. I'm thankful for the warmth in my house. You know, just all these things that we, again, just kind of go back to what I started this segment kind of talking about, is being thankful, giving credit to God for all of the things that we normally just expect to happen to us. We just expect good because that's how life is, because life is supposed to be fair. And because, but whoever said that life is supposed to be fair, and whoever said that life is supposed to be
easy
and good, right?
Yeah. All the time.
A 3-year-old will tell you that life is supposed to be fair.
All the time.
All the time.
Not fair.
And one of the biggest things that we teach our kids is life is not fair. The sooner you learn that, the better. So, but the flip side of that coin should be life is not fair. However, God always is. And the good that you will experience in life is from our Creator, who does not change, who loves us so much, and who sent his Son to die for us, and who is offering salvation and offering something so much bigger than what this life and this world and even the people around us can offer. And I think that's
it's pretty cool.
It's why this the design on the top part of my arm is all about this. So I have a big sun tattooed on the back of my arm, and then I actually have each of my kids has a has their own tattoo, and then it kind of trickles down into other things. But the base of all of it is that all these good things are gifts from God, and it's a reminder to me every day when I see it that all good and perfect gifts are from the Father above. So One of my favorites. I felt like it kind of fit with the theme of today.
Boom.
There we go. Well, I appreciate, especially for those of you who came back for
after technical difficulties,
episode 19
part two. Again,
try to, and
technical.
I'm still not sure. I've been watching the Tim. I don't know how it looks on your screen, but it's very. Yeah, it's not been a very high res look. It looks good on Nate's computer, but that's a direct feed off of the off the camera. The actual YouTube feed looks like it's been filmed on a potato.
Well, that's sad.
It has not been filmed on a potato. It is actually a pretty expensive Canon camera.
Well, which we've had issues with. Boo.
But notice that it did not freeze today. I think freeze. I did fix that.
Hallelujah.
Between the
software and the firmware, we fixed the bugs.
I fixed all the things that I can fix.
Yeah, no.
The Wi-Fi that rains down from the heavens is something outside of my...
Yep, that's a whole different thing.
Outside of my...
Ohio has the worst Wi-Fi, I hear. That's the word in the street.
Well, Spectrum has not been on my...
Nope, they're not our friends.
Not been on top of my list. They've been fine for years. We never really had problems until...
Not recently. Regularly, not like this.
But,
yeah. Ooh, excuse me.
Well... You guys ready to wrap this up?
Let's go.
Nate's yawning. Everyone, thanks for tuning into Life, Liberty, and Equipped. If today's conversation challenged you, encouraged you, or helped you get more equipped to pursue your mission, share with a friend, drop a comment, and leave us a review.
Don't forget, we go live on the Neomag YouTube and Facebook page when we have internet. So be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you can be part of the next live show.
And if you are not already part of the Neomag Insiders Club, you're crazy. But now is the time. Get early access to Neomag gear, exclusive content, and a front row seat to everything we are building. Go to theneomag.com to sign up.
Until next time, live boldly, stand for liberty, and stay equipped. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.